Our scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 22. Be from the New Revised Standard Version. You can find it on page 167 in your pew Bible in the Old Testament, and you may follow it on the screen. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart and love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphans and the widows, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, him alone you shall worship, to him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Good morning. You hear about people preaching hellfire and brimstone, and every time I get up to preach, it's cold, below freezing. So that sounds like a growth area for me, so I will work on that. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the fall of 2013, I started classes at Perkins School of Theology, working on my theology degree. Now, this probably does not come as any surprise to you, but parking passes at SMU are expensive. And when I have morning classes, traffic on 75 can be a challenge. So I was looking at transportation on DART, and I discovered that if you're an SMU student, you can get a pass good for a year for unlimited travel on DART for $5. Yeah, don't all enroll at SMU at once. And so in the mornings, I would drive over to the rail station in Plano and take the train down to Mockingbird Station and then walk from Mockingbird Station over to Perkins. That was about a mile. It was a good walk. There was a shuttle that went from Mockingbird Station over to Perkins School of Theology. But I preferred to walk, and even in the hot days or the cold days or the rainy days, I tended to walk. If it was cold and rainy, I took the shuttle because there's only so much of that you can do. Walking was good because it gave me a chance to get something physical in before I spent the morning sitting through lectures. But for me, walking was also a spiritual journey. As I left Mockingbird Station, I was leaving people who were commuting to their jobs, going to their businesses. And as I walked over to SMU, I saw this scene right here, which is a labyrinth which is set into the courtyard and the buildings there at Perkins School of Theology. So I was walking away from one chapter of my life, the chapter where I had been in business, to the chapter where I was now in ministry. So it was a spiritual walk as well as a physical walk. It was an act of disconnecting from an old chapter of my life and reconnecting with a new one. Now, the book of Deuteronomy also comes after a walk, a very long walk, a 40-year long walk. The people of Israel began that walk as slaves in Egypt, and they were ending this walk right there on the brink of crossing into the Promised Land. And the book of Deuteronomy is laid out as speeches or sermons that Moses gives to the people. He will not be crossing over with them. And he wants them to remember that God brought them out of slavery in Egypt and that God had given them the law. not as a punishment and not as a burden, but the law as a way of life, as a way of being in harmony with one's neighbor and with one's God. So the passage starts out with, what does the Lord your God require of you? And the Lord God requires of you to walk. You are to walk in God's ways, to love God, to serve God with your heart and your soul. Does that sound like another verse of scripture you've heard? When Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, he is actually quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. And when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, he's quoting Leviticus 19:18. It wasn't so much that Jesus was trying to teach something new as he was trying to call people back to the best part of themselves and the best parts of their tradition. Do you remember another verse that starts with, what does the Lord require of you? Yeah, Micah 6:8. It is written on the wall in the youth room. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And with the magic of Bible apps, you can do some incredible word searches. And I searched for walk and God. And when you see the words walk and God together in a verse, you are walking with God. Nobody walks behind God. Abraham walked before God, and that's a whole other sermon. We won't get into that. When you walk with God. You may follow Jesus, but you walk with God. Micah and Moses tell us to walk with God, but they don't give us where we are to walk. There is no destination. The people of Israel felt like they had no destination for a long time, but they were in a process of disconnecting and reconnecting as well. They were disconnecting from the idea of being slaves in Egypt. They were disconnecting from the idea that if things got too hard, they could go back. They needed to reconnect to God, the Lord, the God of Abraham, to recognize that Lord as the Lord, their God, who wanted to live with them in a covenant relationship, just as he'd lived in a covenant relationship with Abraham. Moses and Micah don't tell us where to go. Jesus and his disciples walked all over Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and we don't pay much attention to where they were going. We just know that the disciples were disconnecting from those identities as fishermen and tax collectors and whatever else they'd been, and reconnecting to God and something new God was doing in Jesus Christ. Jesus as God incarnate, God with us. In walking, you disconnect and you reconnect. I made a lot of great connections when I was walking from Mockingbird Station to Perkins. I pondered questions of life and death as I crossed the intersection of Mockingbird and 75. I walked less than a mile, but I passed not one, but two Starbucks. And I walked by a sign that said, only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly. A quote given by the SMU class of 1995. And for somebody who had quit his job and was going to seminary full time, that was a quote I needed to hear, and I walked by it every day. I didn't walk to Perkins alone all the time, because I was not the only person taking Dart Rail to SMU. And from time to time, I would run into classmates of mine, and we would walk together over to Perkins. This is a broad estimate, but I would guess a third to a half of the student body at Perkins is second career, has left one career or is transitioning out of one career into a career in ministry. So in addition to talking about assignments and classes and coursework, we spent a lot of time talking about where we'd come from and where we felt God leading us. I made a lot of really good connections there by walking. My walk from the station to the seminary ended in a labyrinth. And we're offering you a chance to take a walk that ends in a labyrinth too. Our labyrinth is set up in the fellowship hall. It will be there until 4 p.m. So anytime that you would like to go there and walk the labyrinth, you're welcome to do that. just don't do it right now. Let me finish. So as you walk through the labyrinth, you are invited to disconnect. Disconnect from the idea of the labyrinth as a maze. A maze is a puzzle. It's designed to fool you. A labyrinth is a path, and it's designed to teach you. Disconnect from the chatter in your head about all the millions of things you've got to do today. Disconnect from all the things that you need to tell somebody or that you've heard someone tell you. Disconnect from all those millions of thoughts that clutter up our heads. Disconnect from your need to walk and have a destination. As you walk to the labyrinth, you're also invited to reconnect. Reconnect to the feeling of having your feet on the floor. Our labyrinth is canvas, and to protect it, we're going to ask you to walk without shoes. It helps you out. God told Moses when he was at the burning bush to take off his shoes because the ground he was walking on is holy. I think he did that so that Moses could feel the greatest connection to ground that was holy. Let yourself feel connection to the ground you were made from. Reconnect to your breathing. We've said a number of times in worship that the word in the Bible, both in Hebrew and in Greek, for breath and for spirit is the same word. So reconnect to the breath entering and leaving your body. And remember, God's spirit is as close to you as your very breath. As you walk the labyrinth, you're invited to walk with God. But you don't have to have a labyrinth to walk with God. You can disconnect and reconnect walking around your neighborhood. You can get in plenty of steps. You don't have to have a destination, and you won't get lost. I do encourage you to walk this weekend, because tomorrow is the day we've set aside to remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he led a lot of people on some very famous walks. They walked to disconnect from a system that kept part of us separated from the rest of us. They disconnected themselves from thoughts of their own safety, because many of them were put in jail, many of them were beaten, and some of them died. They disconnected from a destination, but they reconnected to a purpose. They reconnected with each other and found courage in struggling together. They reconnected to a sense of dignity and worth that comes from being people created in God's image. And they walked with God. That's the God who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, the God who loves the stranger, providing them food and clothing, the God who requires of us that we walk in those ways. So the labyrinth is down the hall, and all's ready for you if you choose. It's a chance to disconnect from all those things that keep you from your path. And it's a chance to reconnect to the earth, to your body, to your breath, and maybe reconnect to your purpose. Somebody told a friend of mine, when I first saw that labyrinth, I was a bit afraid because I thought I would get lost in all those twists and turns. But then I learned if I trusted it, it would lead me to the center and then back out. And may that be true for us as we walk with God. Amen.